Brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, boys and girls, what was your baptism like? Do you remember? What did it feel like to have water sprinkled on your head three times? Did the minister pronounce your name correctly when he said, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit"? Now, I'm asking, in a sense, silly questions, because probably almost all of you do not remember your baptism. Because in this church, we baptize infants. And so, unless you or your parents joined the church for the first time when you were older, you were baptized at maybe 2 or 3 weeks old. And so, you don't even remember your baptism. So, we can easily forget sometimes that we were actually baptized, because it happened before we can remember anything. And so, for that reason, we might not pay our baptism too much attention. Or perhaps we might not find it as useful as the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, which we celebrate when we are adults and which we do so regularly and repeatedly. We might wonder sometimes if the churches which baptize only adults or which baptize more than once, maybe they have something to teach. At least they can notice. At least they can remember their baptism. And so at least it means something to them. That's why, in case we start to think that way, we will see from God's word with the help of our catechism this afternoon why we need baptism. And we'll see four reasons, and these aren't the only four reasons why we need our baptism. There are more than this. For example, one that we won't mention is Romans 6, which speaks of how baptism unites us into Christ's death and how it increases our desire to serve God and live a holy life. You can read about that from the end of answer 70. But these four are in our scripture text for this afternoon. And so we will see four reasons why we need our baptism. Firstly, to obey Christ. Secondly, to teach us what Christ has done. Thirdly, to assure us of God's promises. And then lastly, to distinguish us from unbelievers. So firstly, we'll see that we need our baptism to be obedient to our Lord. It's a simple answer, this first one. We need to be baptized because Christ has commanded us. Answer 69 of the Catechism tells us that Christ instituted this outward washing. And answer 71 quotes Christ's institution of the sacrament of baptism in Matthew 28. Christ says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." And in that passage, Christ also first teaches us his authority to make such commands. He says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." So Christ has all the authority that there is. There is nobody who is outside of his authority. And so whatever he says, we all have to do. And so the simple answer of why we need baptism is that Christ tells us that when we become a Christian, one of the first things that should happen is that we are baptized. Much like when we are children and our parents tell us to do something and we question why, and they tell us, "Because I said so. Jesus has commanded us to be baptized, and so we obey." And so, today still, we are commanded that when we make disciples of Jesus, to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And so that's why when a person is an adult and becomes a Christian and confesses faith in Jesus Christ, then they are baptized. But as Reformed believers, we also believe that our children share in Christ's covenant and congregation. They are Christian children. They are young disciples of Christ. As Jesus himself said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." And so we baptize children as well, again in obedience to this command of Christ: make disciples and baptize. But Jesus also may have all authority in heaven and on earth, and what he says we must obey. But unlike what happens when humans have too much power, Christ's power does not corrupt him, and so he is not a tyrant. So when he commands something, he always commands it for a good reason. And very, very rarely does God ever command something in Scripture without actually also telling us the reason. when God makes commands. He always has a good reason, and most of the time, if not almost all of the time, in the scriptures, he either directly tells us the reason why he makes his command, or at least we can figure it out. And so it also is with baptism. Jesus, as an all-knowing God full of love for us, gives us the command to baptize because it is for our good. And we get the first taste of this in Matthew 28, in the last phrase of this text. Behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Baptism has to do with this, the fact that Christ is with us always. Baptism is our assurance of that fact, that Christ is truly with us. And so let's look at the reasons why Christ has commanded us to baptize all believers. And we'll see that firstly in our second point, we baptize to teach us what Christ has done. This is the sign part of baptism. Baptism is a sign teaching us what Jesus Christ has done. It is a visible explanation of the gospel. And the Catechism explains it by making reference to outward washing and calling baptism an outward washing. And in fact, you can cross off the word outward, really, because baptism is a washing. And unless you're into one of those fancy modern cleanses where you only drink juice for a week or something like that, all of the washing and cleansing that we do is on the outside. All washing, basically, is outward washing. We wash our dishes, we wash our bodies. And so baptism is a regular old washing. When our bodies get dirty, filthy, diseased sometimes, we turn on the hot water tap and wash ourselves down and become clean. And so baptism is one of those washings. It's water running down over our bodies to make us clean. But this outward sign of baptism is pointing to the inner washing of Christ. And its power is in the promise that goes along with it. Answer 69 says, with the outward washing of baptism, Christ gave the promise that just as water washes away dirt from the body, so certainly his blood and spirit wash away the impurity of my soul, that is, all my sin. Now, I'm going to ask the same question that we asked last week. Why, though, do we need baptism? Every sermon, we have this same message, that we are sinners, that Christ's blood washes us clean from all of our sins. Well, we saw last week that the sacraments are given to us because of our insensitivity and the weakness of our faith. And so, our Lord Jesus Christ also gave us baptism for the same reason. We even read in that text how some of Jesus' disciples have weak faith. It says in verse 17, when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. In other words, they're on the right track. They're worshipping Lord Jesus. They realize something of who he is, but they haven't quite figured it all out yet. And so it is with us. We know, usually, pretty sure, when our bodies are dirty. We can see it and feel it and smell it. We know we need a shower. But we don't always know how quickly our souls become dirty and how dirty they are. Because you can't smell the dirt on your soul. And it can be very difficult to feel it or to see it. And so sometimes, at times, the gospel message in the preaching can pass us by. Or we run that danger. Because we don't realize how much we need it. Because we can't see our souls for what they really are. Have you ever lived in a house that has a carpet that hides dirt really well? On the one hand, it's great because you don't think you need to vacuum every day. On the other hand, when you do vacuum and you hear all of that dirt going into the vacuum cleaner and you think, I probably should have vacuumed a little while ago, but you just couldn't see all the dirt that's there. And so our sinful nature camouflages our sin so we don't see it. We have all sorts of excuses and minimizations why our sin's not bad. We could have done way worse, we say. It's not my fault. There's lots of way dirtier people out there that we can compare ourselves to so we don't feel so bad. And so many times we don't feel particularly sinful. We're kind of camouflaged, our sin is. That's what's going on in our text in 1 John. John writes twice, in fact, in this chapter, how we are not allowed to claim that we have not sinned. And we might hear those words and with our reformed service and every time we hear the commandments, and we might think, why would any Christian say that they have not sinned? But John's point is that we all do that. Most of the time, or if not all of the time. He says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Verse 8. But many times in a situation where something wrong has happened, we put the blame on somebody else. And we wash our hands of blame when we are partly to blame. And so we say we have no sin. Not all of the time, but in a particular situation. And so we deceive ourselves. And so John says in the next verse down, in verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar, and his word is not in us. And again, when we make excuses for our sins, when we hear a commandment preached or read, and our first thought is of everybody else, and all those other people who are much worse than us at that particular sin and that particular commandment, we make our sins smaller than what they are, we blame somebody else, then in a sense, we too are claiming that we have not sinned. Again, not that we've never sinned, but we are missing many of our sins. And in a sense, we are missing God's word and his accusations, and we are making God a liar. And so we too, we all of us, too often, minimize our sins. Our sins are camouflaged. We don't see it. We don't feel as sinful as we really are. And so the washing of baptism reminds us of the impurity of our souls. But because baptism is about the gospel, it also immediately points us to the solution. Because baptism as an outward washing reminds us that water washes dirt from the body, and it promises us that Christ's blood and spirit cleanse away, wash away the impurity of our souls, that is, all our sins. And we all know the effectiveness of hot water and soap to clean pretty much any dirt from our bodies. And the promise of baptism is that Christ's blood and spirit wash the dirt from our souls even more effectively. They take away all of our sins. And so when John warns us not to claim we have not sinned, we are great sinners, he also provides the solution. And notice again how comprehensive it is. Verse 7. If we walk in the light, as God is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so baptism is for when our faith is insensitive, when we don't realize how sinful we really are. It helps to show us how sinful we are, how much we need the cleansing blood of Christ. But then it also promises that Christ's blood does cleanse us from all of our sins and from all unrighteousness. There is no sin that we can do that permanently stains our soul. That is, that Christ's blood is not strong enough to cleanse. And so we realize from the sacrament of baptism that we are sinners, but that Christ's blood is powerful enough to cleanse us from them all. And that brings us to our third point. We also need baptism to assure us of God's promises. And so sometimes our problem, our faith, is too insensitive to realize how sinful we are, how much we need Christ. The picture of baptism reminds us of our impurity and reminds us of Christ's blood washing us away. But sometimes our problem is the opposite. Sometimes our faith is too weak and we realize somewhat more how sinful we are, but we doubt the possibility of being cleansed. We imagine that we're too far gone, that we're too sinful to save. And when our faith is weak like this, baptism helps us as well. And again, it's not just baptism. The preaching of the gospel does this too. Each Sunday we are comforted that Christ's blood does cover our sins. that we are not the only believers who have done wrong things, terrible sins sometimes. We are comforted that God is a gracious and merciful God full of steadfast love. And baptism teaches this exact same message, but it does so in a very personal way to assure each one of us that Christ's blood and the washing away of our sins is for us, that he really died for me and you. And because each one of us is baptized individually and we all receive that promise, then we are all individually assured of Christ's blood and of our salvation. We all receive that promise, as the Catechism puts it, that we are as truly cleansed from our sins spiritually as our bodies are washed with the water of baptism. And so sometimes we can hear the preaching, we can hear the gospel, and we can think of all the other people it applies to, and we miss its application to us. But we can't do that with baptism because it happened to us and not to anyone else. Christ's promises are real for each one of us. His forgiveness is real for us. His blood really washes us clean. And so baptism assures us of what Christ has done and promised, and that it applies to us. And when we read this also from our reading in 1 John, John speaks of how assured he can be of eternal life. And how he can be assured of this. Why? Because he has seen it with his very own eyes. And in the first few verses of the chapter, he's speaking of Jesus Christ and how Jesus Christ is eternal life made visible, made flesh. And so he says of eternal life that he has seen it, he has looked upon it, he has even touched it with his own hands. The word of life. And so John can have no doubts. Because Jesus, the eternal life who was with the Father, was made manifest and has been seen and touched, and John was with him. And so we might think, well, that's nice for you, John, but we weren't there, and we can't see Jesus, and we can't touch him. Well, John says, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, verse 3. And so he says, that's what the preaching of the gospel is about. It too makes manifest, makes visible in a sense, in words, the truth of Jesus Christ. But baptism also makes visible the truth of what Christ has done. It gives us something to look at, something to see with our senses. And so our faith can be confirmed. It's not, of course, quite the same as literally seeing Jesus with our own eyes and touching him as John has done, and seeing him risen from the dead and seeing the empty tomb. But it is something to add to the proclamation of the gospel so that we can truly believe that Jesus is the Son of God and the sacrifice for our sins, and we do have eternal life in his name. And so John talks about how we can have fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And so baptism also very specifically assures us of our fellowship with God. That's why we are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Not even just in the name of God, but of each person of the Trinity individually. Because each member of the triune God comes to us in our baptism, establishes a covenant with us, and makes wonderful promises to us. And so we can be assured through baptism that we have fellowship with God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. So in baptism, God promises to be our Father and providentially care for us always. Our Lord Jesus promises to wash us clean from all of our sins, as we've already seen. And the Holy Spirit promises to dwell in us and remain with us forever and make us members of Christ. And again, this is not just true of others. Every one of us who is baptized receives these promises individually. God, the Father, God, the Son, God, the Holy Spirit comes to us and makes these promises. And so we have fellowship with God, the Father, and God, the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? And so baptism is especially for us when our faith is insensitive. We don't realize how great our sins are, or when our faith is weak And it assures us of what Christ has done and of the truth of God's promises to us. And baptism also, as we'll see in our fourth point, distinguishes us from unbelievers. As John speaks about how we have fellowship with God, he also speaks about how we have fellowship with one another. He says, "We proclaim to you Jesus Christ, the eternal life, so that you may have fellowship with us." And the fellowship we have is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And he repeats it further on. "If we walk in the light as God is in the light, we have fellowship with one another." And you might know that this is one of the key themes of the book, Epistle of John. It's all about fellowship with one another and our love for each other. He says, for example, "Whoever loves God must also love his brother. Whoever hates his brother is in the darkness." And so baptism also emphasizes this. It emphasizes that we are part of a community, that we are a loving community together. We are, humanly speaking, a pretty random group of people. We're of all different ages and all different places. We come from different countries. We have wildly different jobs and interests and families. And yet, we are united together. What unites us? Ephesians 4 summarizes, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." So among other things, he says, what unites us is our one baptism. We are the baptized. And our baptism marks each one of us, but also marks us together out as different, separated from the unbaptized, from the world. And that's why Jesus commanded that when his disciples make new disciples, one of the first things that they do is to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's why answer 74 speaks of how we must baptize our infant children, because they are separate from the world, and their baptism distinguishes covenant children from the children of unbelievers. It is a sign, it is an initiation rite where God declares, "You are not of the world, you are mine." It's an invisible sign, in a sense, it's invisible to us. The water of baptism is soon evaporates and is, or it's pretty invisible in the first place. But it's visible to God, and it's always visible to God, even once it is long gone, humanly speaking. Our baptism marks us as God's. As our hymn puts it, we bear the cross as sign. And so God, when he looks at us, he sees his mark on us. And he knows never to hold our sin against us because we are distinguished as his. But it's also not so invisible. The sign of baptism, the water, is maybe invisible, but all that baptism does is not invisible. Baptism marks us as God's, gives us faith in God, and gives us a desire to serve God in our life. And so baptized Christians ought to look different from the unbaptized around us. And we must be markedly different from the world. The world, as we know, lives for itself. People in the world live for their own pleasure, deceiving and being deceived, as the scriptures put it. And we Christians, we are to be completely different, living for the glory of God, laying down our life for one another. And our baptism helps us accomplish this. Not automatically. It's not an automatic result of baptism, or we and our baptized children would be without sin. And John has already said that's not the case. But baptism does teach us what Christ has done. The Holy Spirit does use our baptism to increase our faith and our desire to serve God and glorify him. And so as baptism assures us of God's promises, it also works in us a desire to live for God. And it makes us different from the world around. And so our baptism also unites us then together as believers. And so we become close. Those who, humanly speaking, would have nothing in common and nothing to do with one another, we are closer than blood. We love each other. We're willing to sacrifice everything we have for one another. because we are the baptized. We are together against the sinful world. Now, this does not mean, before we get the wrong idea, that we are to turn our backs on the world, build up walls. Because as baptized people, we have wonderful fellowship with God and with one another. We are eager to share this fellowship with others, to grow the community of Christ. And so we are happy to speak about what Christ and what he has done so that others will love Christ and others will become baptized and join our fellowship. And this, of course, is what Christ commanded all along. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And so, our baptism is not something to be ignored or forgotten, even if it happened decades ago, before we were old enough to know what was going on. Baptism is commanded us by Christ, and he does not command something without good reason. And so we know that baptism is for our good. But it will not be for our good unless we use our baptism, unless we remember it and understand what it has done. And so baptism, in a very visible way, teaches us the truth of the gospel, what Jesus Christ has done. It reminds us of how much we need inner cleansing, how every day we defile our souls by our sins. But just like water washes away the dirt from our bodies as we shower after every day's hard work, so Christ's blood cleanses us from all of our sin and washes away all of our unrighteousness. And our personal baptism personally assures us of the truth of God's promises to us and tells us that we, that I and you have fellowship with triune God. Though we don't deserve it by nature, though we might be tempted to assume that we are too sinful for God to save or love, baptism assures us that he does love us, that he adopts us as his children, that he saves us, that he dwells with us forever. And finally, through baptism, we are distinguished from unbelievers and we have fellowship with one another. We are united together against the world and its sin and unbelief and unholiness. And so together we live for God's glory, helping one another, supporting one another, teaching each other to observe all that Christ, our Lord, has commanded us. And as we do so, as we meditate on our baptism and all that it means for us, it assures us that Christ, our Lord, is with us always to the very end of the age. Amen.